I'm just outside Irvinestone and I'm talking to Jeff Smith. Jeff, I can see you were badly affected by the troubles. But talk to me first about your own background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up outside Newry, County Down, on a farm. Went to school there and decided to join the police in 1982. I joined the full-time reserve. I liked it, enjoyed the comradeship, the company, and I decided that I would like to become a regular police officer. And in May 1983, I went to the depot, as we called it, the training centre in Enniskillen. And after that, I was stationed in traffic branch in Enniskillen. I met my wife, as she is now,
What's her maiden name?
Debbie. That she was Robinson. I met her in, I suppose it would have been sort of October, November, 1983, and I continued working in traffic branch then until the 18th of June, 1985, when we were on duty, travelling in the direction of Kinnaly in County Fermanagh, when a landmine explosion. I went off underneath a culvert, in a culvert under the road. I don't remember anything about this, but I've been told by others who were in the car behind me and all the people who saw the aftermath. My colleague that day, he died in the operating theatre, I suppose, where I was expected to die too, but somehow or other I pulled through. But I'm left, I've been paralysed from the waist down ever since, as it's a permanent thing.
It's a life changer, that moment.
Oh, desperate, yeah. My wife and I had just become engaged with my fiance at that time, 6 weeks before this had happened. And it was worse for her and for my parents and my family than actually it was for me, because I knew nothing about it. I was unconscious for 5 weeks, so I didn't have any of that worries, but they all had a worry, this worrying time.
Whether you'd pull through or not.
Yeah.
So just to go through it, the so during you were down in Newry, that's and then you signed up and then your training was in Enniskillen, and then you were a member of the police force.
That's right, the Royal Ulster Constabulary was then.
And where were you stationed?
It was stationed in Enniskillen Traffic Branch, based in St Angelo.
And what was your brief every day? What were you doing?
We were out just enforcing the laws of the road, the driving regulations, and for checking for speed, and that everybody was driving legally and safely on the road, keeping the roads as safe as we could for everybody. That was our main task.
Had you anything to do with the say if there was a bomb went off or something like that, would you be brought
No,
in
that
on the scene?
wasn't it wasn't primarily our role now. No, there were other sections who would have been dealing with that.
So how did you get drawn out to? So exactly, where was this bomb placed? I know it was in the culvert, you were saying, in a row.
It was on the way from Florence Court to Kinnaly, and I don't know the townland of Killeshear, maybe, was the name of the townland, but I never had been on this road before. My colleague that day, he was driving because he knew where he was going, and in 2 years with being in the job, I had never been on this road before. It was a road which would have been used by other police travelling to the station in Kinnaly, to the police station, backwards and forwards, but it was our first time.
And so, what time in the day you
No,
were
that
to?
well,
You
this
were
was in the
just.
morning time. I'm not sure what time
And
it
why
was.
were you going to Cannoli?
We were going to just to make do the road safety, maybe to try make sure everybody was driving safely and not speeding and obeying the laws, you know, the road signs and all that there. That was our job, like, not looking, we weren't primarily out looking for tourists, but you always would have had, you know, that would have been in your brief too, if, you know, if you stop anybody suspicious, you know, check them out. But that would have been not a major part of our job.
And were you carrying a weapon?
Oh, yes, we were, yeah.
And so what happened when, was this a timing device or was it a controlled device?
It was a controlled, I am told that it was a controlled, and that there would have been maybe young people standing on the side of the road waiting just for to spot the police car, and then they would have given the signal to whoever then triggered the bomb.
Okay.
I was only getting this from, you know, speaking to people, there were two cars of us travelling on the road, and ours, I was in the first car, and then the second car would have been travelling what they considered to be a safe distance so they didn't drive into a bomb if there was one triggered. And
was this something that you were taught to expect, you know, that maybe that this could happen to you?
Yeah, well, you see, it was happening in different places.
Yeah.
And it was just something every police patrol would have been briefed, like, you know, to drive. You wouldn't be driving one car just right behind the other. And just keep a safe distance. But there, you know, safety things that got there would have been general procedure. Not something that was taught specifically, but it was just the way we did things to try and stay safe.
And who was the police officer that was killed?
He was Bob Gilliland, a lovely man, nicest man I've ever worked with. We called him the old man. He was 39. I wouldn't call that old now, but
yeah. And so on that particular day, had you any? It's just gone from your mind.
Yes, I can remember that I slept in that morning, maybe by a few minutes. The other boys were ready to go. They were just sort of, once I appeared, then we were ready to go. The decisions had been made and who was driving the vehicles and all that. And that's all I can remember, nothing more at all after that, until I was waking up in the hospital in pain.
And so, what exactly, you were brought into Enniskillen Hospital, you were there, and at what stage were you in a, so your life was a possibility that you weren't going to survive?
Oh, very much so, yes. I was talking to a very good friend of mine who was part of my section, but he wasn't there that time, but he was in a different area. But he came to the hospital where we were, and he saw the both of us, me and my colleague, lying up in the, I don't know where, in the operating theatre or what, I don't know where. We were both lying on the beds anyway. Yeah. And if anybody had asked him who was going to survive, he'd have said it wasn't going to be me.
Yeah.
Because the other man had a mark on him, yet I was the blood running out of me. And like I did, the surgeons had a terrible job trying to get the blood, trying to get me to, you know, from bleeding. They were putting more blood into me, and it was coming out. And
so you had multiple injuries,
Oh, I died. I did actually. My heart stopped several times, and then they moved me on to the Royal Victoria Hospital. And also, even on the way up there, I'm told that the ambulance had to stop while they had to resuscitate me on the way.
My goodness. And so what, when you pull through all this, you're left with a permanent injury.
Yes. My broken, my spine was broken. And that was my worst injury. My ankles were broken, my collarbone was broken, and was had to have my spleen removed, you know, things like that there, but the main life-changing thing was the paralysis.
And you've obviously learned to live with that now. Yeah. Can you just, who was responsible for this? Did anybody claim responsibility?
The IRA terrorist group claimed responsibility for it. And other than that, I know no one more. No one was ever convicted of it, for it. You know, there was nobody convicted. I've been told maybe who people suspect that it was, but there's no proof. And I don't, doesn't bother me. I don't dwell on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know them, and I don't want to know them.
Yeah, it's an extra. And so somebody who would want to take your life, you're just not interested.
No, well, they don't know me. They never knew who I was. They just wanted to wanted to kill people, and that's how they think. It's not... I don't know. I don't think about them. Sometimes I used to think it was really maybe bad, painful night, didn't sleep well. I'll just think to myself, well, I hope they didn't sleep well.
Yeah.
And, well, I would still hope they don't sleep well, and I hope they don't sleep well any night, for that matter.
Mm.
But...
And at that time, you, your parents, they were still in,
yes.
in at home, and they were living in Newry.
Living on a farm outside Newry.
Yeah,
yeah.
And did you at that stage you were married?
No.
So did you go back to Newry after?
No, that, no, I didn't. Well, I went home maybe for a weekend or two. But the house wasn't that very suitable, really. It was a two-story farmhouse and it wasn't that good. Steps everywhere. But then my fiancée, her parents, they got their house made to suit that I could get in the wheelchair easily. And in fact, they gave up their bed that I could sleep at their house, and they slept in the bed. So bed sat he for months. Until we got our own bungalow built then, and got, well, in fact, even after that, we got married the following August. So that's how long they were out of their bed.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but so that was the end of the police force for you. You're gone, and if you don't blame anybody and you think that, did it ever enter your mind that, what was the troubles all about, or what's this fight all about?
It didn't bother me for an awful long time. I just decided to get on with living as best I could and didn't think much about it. But, you know, if you start to think about it, it would make you angry probably, but... I just think people have to be fighting everywhere. They have to find something to fight about. No matter, all over the world, sure, there's people killing people. And if there's a police force in the country, that's the people they want to kill.
But you were a man doing your duty. You were out. Were you ever in a skirmish? Did you ever have to shoot at somebody?
No, I didn't. No. No, thankfully not.
Yeah.
We were trained how to shoot the weapons and all that there, but you always hoped that you wouldn't have to. As it turned out, I didn't.
I imagine. And are you, so you're, what, are you Church of Ireland, or are you?
Presbyterian. Church of Ireland, Presbyterian Church in Ireland, yes, I belong to Irvinstown Presbyterian Church now.
Yeah. And what are your feelings about the people would say that this might have been a sectarian war? Do you believe that, or
it was ostensibly, I suppose. It wasn't really, but in the border areas, it very much was, like in the direction we were heading for. The police were considered to be a Protestant police force. The majority of them were Protestant, because the IRA intimidated any Roman Celtic who wanted to join, or shot them dead if they were in the police force. So it was the IRA who that ended up making it a Protestant force majority. And round the border area, then of course anybody who owned land, if it was a Protestant farmer, owned the land, any excuse to shoot them was a good enough thing. And if they were happened to be in the police or on the Ulster Defence Regiment, that was another good excuse for to shoot them. Especially when they weren't on duty, they wouldn't have been expecting it, and they weren't thinking about that primarily. They would have been thinking about the farm work or whatever they were doing.
Mm-hmm. And your own parents, did they live near the border there?
Well, not so close to the border, no.
What was the address again in Newry?
Oh, it was Drumontine. Drumontine. Newry was our address. Was our.
But your parents land. Were never threatened or anything like that, were they?
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. Yeah, and you would have grown up in a very normal.
You thought so? Yes, and living in the country, there was no problems like that.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We didn't have anything. I do remember when I was going. The troubles were only starting when I was going to primary school, and I remember hearing it on the news about these people being shot. And I remember just saying to my parents, if I got shot when I was walking to school, I would pretend I was dead. And that's all I can remember about the troubles. That was about 10, you know.
Yeah.
In fact, less than that.
Yeah, but that's, imagine, that was embedded in you at the time. What, tell me, so kind of, the aftermath again of your bombing and what happened to you, did you get any support? What kind of support did you get? Did you get counselling? Did you get?
Oh, not really. No. Well, there was a man came one time. Some sort of psychiatrist or some, I don't know what qualifications he had, but I told him I had big plans for my future, like, and just to get him off the scent. I told him some story. I was going to buy a hotel and all this, and make it suitable for disabled. I had this, and away he went.
So, and compensation, of course, you were looked after, were you?
Well, it was compensated, as they would maybe term it, like, but to last a person from I was 23 years old when I was.
Was it? Was that all you were?
23, and like what I got was supposed to last me, I was now out of work and not likely to get work because of my injuries and disability. It was no way it was going to last me a lifetime if that's what was the intention.
Yeah.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to live this long, but I don't know what the thought was, but yeah, I just got what. Yeah. My solicitors and the barristers decided, you have to accept that.
And your colleagues in the force, would they support you, or did they support you afterwards?
Oh, yes, yeah. I still see some of them yet. They're all retired off the force now.
Yeah.
But. Oh, God, yeah. The police, the RUC, were good enough to me, yeah, in the early days. They had a welfare support group, which then was, after the RUC was replaced, was with the PSNI, then that welfare support group became a voluntary group, which we had to look after ourselves then.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that, you know, the two of you in the car, one died, one didn't, you survived. I mean, does that play in your mind as well?
I've often thought that because I wasn't driving, that was just what saved me. And maybe it was. The other man, apparently his neck was broken now, Bob's neck, apparently. So I've just been told that very recently. And you know, he was married with two young sons.
Yeah.
And I was just a single man, and so I used to think he would have been, should have survived and me not, but there again, he was near 40 and it just sought much harder to live. If he was going to be left paralyzed, he wouldn't have wanted this life either. Yeah. You know, so.
Yeah, you felt that you were stronger.
Well, I was younger, yeah. Maybe able to adapt easier. Yeah. But I'm sure, like, there's plenty of other men that age who were left paralyzed. In fact, well, I know for certain.
And
that there are.
Jeff, talk to me about your wife. Her name again is
Debbie.
Yeah. So was Debbie involved? Was she a member of the force?
No, she was not. No, she just was a girl that I met.
I fell
in love with her. And
was she working in a skillin?
No, she worked in Irvington in a clothes factory. And she was a machinist.
And what did she think of all of this?
Well, I don't know. After I was injured, she didn't work anymore then. She went to live in Belfast with family, friends, and she came to visit me then every day.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But you know, to think that, of course, they say a good woman is is what you need.
Well, it does make an awful difference, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have family?
Well, due to my injuries, we weren't able to have a family, and we kind of accepted that whenever in the early days. But then we started to read that there was maybe a hope for us to have a family, that there were people working on that side of things for us. And we tried, and we went into different schemes. We went over to Scotland, first of all, several times to try. And then that didn't work. Then we went to England, and we went there loads of times. We went away for 2 weeks at a time. A lot of time and a lot of money spent. But what else? Well, like, it was no good.
You have to try.
Yeah, you have to try everything. Yeah. But eventually, anyway, we did get a son.
Oh, well, it's lovely.
But he's 10 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Which makes life worth living.
It does. Mm. Of course it does. And just, can I ask you this? You were living here. You were a policeman. Your parents came from Newry. Do you feel that you're an Irishman, or do you feel?
No, I don't feel that I'm an Irishman, no.
What do you feel?
I'm a Northern Irishman. I'm from Northern but but I'm filling up my passport. I would have written a UK citizen, but then it always comes back as a British passport. But I am not, as I mentioned, a strange thing, because Britain does not include Northern Ireland, but yet, the United Kingdom includes Northern Ireland, but I'm a UK citizen, but it's a British passport. It's a strange setup. But anyway, that's how I see myself, a Northern Ireland man, Northern Irish.
Yeah. And so, but that's... that's important to you, is it? That you know that you are, you know that you're part of the United Kingdom, but you are.
Yes, it is. Yes, yeah. I can't really say. What makes me feel like.
And if I could just ask you then, if that's the way you feel, do you feel that the South didn't do enough during the Troubles to curtail the?
Well, I would say that definitely didn't. They left the border open for the terrorists to return, to the safe haven that the Republic of Ireland was.
And does that, you know, does that throw a bad light then on?
Well, I mean, these people who would have attempted to kill me, did kill my colleague and loads of other people and friends that I knew. These people call themselves Irishmen, and I'm glad not to be part of that. That makes me feel more so that I'm not, you know.
Would you travel down south?
Oh, very rarely. I've been to Dublin Airport maybe when I was going on holidays a couple of times. No, really not. Yeah. Really wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. And do you know, I know you were in and out of hospital and it took a while for me to get here, but mm-hmm. eventually, I'm glad you spoke to me. And I'm very interested that I have your story now recorded. But is there anything else that you would, that I'm leaving out that I should be asking you?
It's a strange, I was a member of the Victims Forum. The Forum of Victims and Survivors. And there was a discussion going on one time about the police, then the police being a Protestant police. You know, this discussion was going on. But I was saying that that was not part of my feelings when, like, being in the police. The police were supposed to be down the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Down in the middle, keeping in between the warring sides, as we might say. There was the sort of UVF, UDA on one side, and the IRA and INLA, terrorists. So there were both sides, there was terrorists on both sides, criminals from all sides, and my job was to be down the middle of the road and, keep everybody safe. But it was a strange way, because I would have friends who would be Protestant friends, but I would have very few Roman Catholic friends.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is, okay, both sides were involved in this sectarian feud, but the IRA were the furthest away, and from, they were trying to get the other side, and the UVF were trying to get the other side, but the IRA were also trying to get the police and the army, which the really UVF and them weren't so much, not as I'm aware of it really. So it would have pushed me away from one side more, though the people in the middle would have been okay, but it just was more dangerous. One side was more dangerous because the one side was trying to kill the police, whereas the other side wasn't. You know, it's strange. If you can understand that,
I can understand exactly what you're saying. But can I suggest then that maybe you could not trust your Catholic neighbour?
Yes, you could. Not so much, because you didn't know. You didn't know really how their sympathies lay, really. As well, I suppose I didn't have that many Catholic friends. And then once I joined the police, like, they would have been very, very, very limited, except for any Catholics who I knew were on the police. But
if you came across, for example, a nationalist mm-hmm. living in Enniskillen or in Irvinstown, would you be suspicious of that person? This is during the Troubles time.
I was primarily a traffic police officer. What I've been checking, didn't really matter who it was. You had to treat everybody the same way, you know, but it was that long ago now, it's 30.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
It's 32 years ago from I was injured. And you kind of forget what way, but I know that it didn't really. No, I never came upon any. I never came across any terrorists.
Yeah.
That I know of, like.
Yeah. And just when, during the rest of the Troubles, after you were recuperating and you were back here and you were now married and living, was there ever a threat against you following that?
Not that I'm aware of, no, there wasn't. But I didn't, I took an attitude that, if anybody had brains and the IRA said, they would be thinking that I'm costing the government more money now every day that I'm alive than if I was dead. So I used to sort of think to myself, that's what they'd be probably thinking, cost the government as much money as you can.
Yeah.
And I was leave them living.
Imagine.
But yeah. But, you know, you were asking me about trusting people, you see, like, and I know there were people and they trusted their neighbours and their neighbours let them down, like, and would have been very closely involved in seeing their murder or execution.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it would have been people who had many friends along the border areas. Yeah, I didn't live close to the border. I didn't grow up close to the border, so I didn't have that mentality, you know, that the people would have been trusting their neighbours. I didn't. Because, well, where I lived, you know, there were any neighbours I had were mostly Protestant farmers, you know.
Yes, yes.
In the area that I lived in.
Yeah.
But I never saw anybody that was...
Yeah. I know that. And so who do you... now that... That we have peace. Have you, who, and the idea that the Good Friday Agreement came when prisoners were released from mm-hmm. prison, were you, do you think that was a good idea?
Well, I didn't vote for it anyway, because I didn't want to see murderers out on the streets again, but that's what happened.
Mm.
Majority of people decided that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
So I have to live by it.
Jeff Smith, I've taken up a lot of your time. Listen, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And that.
I, as far as the pension goes, I feel that I'm being very let down by what was called compensation. Which I got 30 years ago, and I am now expected to live for a good while yet without a pension. And without a pension, we're talking about, because I didn't have any police pension. My police pension now, I'm still living on benefits, which is not so bad. While I'm alive, this is okay, we can live on benefits. But if I used to die tomorrow, the benefits stop. My wife will no longer be a carer, so she wouldn't be getting anything. Any benefits which would be coming into this house would be gone. My wife, with her 10-year-old son, and having to live the rest of her life, you know,
yeah,
like this. It's definitely not what I joined the police expecting. You expect to be able to provide for your family. Even right up until there, you know, expect to look after my wife until she dies. Whereas the way it is now, I won't be able to unless the government get this pension sorted out. And when I say I talk about a pension, I'm talking about a pension for seriously injured, mentally or physically injured. Innocent victims I'm talking about, not people who go out to commit murder and who injure themselves. And I'd like that to be sorted out, because I can't afford to die.
I know.